Okay, good morning. Let's begin this morning by opening the scriptures to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Romeo, my goodness. Good to see you here this morning. All right. Okay, Psalm 105. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wonders which He has done, His marvels and the judgments uttered by His mouth. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. We have a lot we want to do this morning, so let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. We pray, Father, You will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son and the power of Your Spirit. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin this morning with song. Let's begin with Let Pharisees of High Esteem. It's number 4, but it's in the very back of your hymnal. It's number 4, but it's in the very back. So it's the last, next to last hymn in the hymnal.
Let Pharisees die.
I guess when Isaac Watts wrote that in the early 16th century, 17th century, they had scandals, so it's not unlike our day and time. And so he put that in his song. Okay, let's see. We have several things we want to talk about. First of all, there will be a meeting after church this morning. If you're at all, even remotely, interested in camp, we might lure you in. And that's going to be about camp. You say, well, that's a year away. Let's just move on. No, we gotta make plans. We've already have the date and maybe even the place. But if we have where we were this year, we've got that booked. And so please attend. Anything else, Chris, on the meeting? Okay. Everyone will be invited. So it won't take a lot of your time. And if the preacher doesn't just go on and on this morning, you should be back in time for the beat the people at the restaurant or whatever. Okay. Well, it won't be long before I have to be sure I'm out of here in time. Football season will start. Boy, I'll be told. And you're not clear by 11:35. I'm out of here. So, so please do plan on staying about the camp. It's this last year was just a super camp. We're looking forward to next year being even better. And so Chris and Laura Daig are already lining up the speakers and things like that. So it's going to look like it's going to be a very, very good camp. Let's see. Okay, now having that, let's see. We have a couple announcements. First of all, Gerald and Diana Weber here from visiting us from Houston here. They're celebrating their 27th wedding anniversary. Yay! Oh, 27 years with a Marine. I don't know. Wow. So, let's see now. In regard to prayer, and this is a special morning. Tish is back with us. Yeah. Well, I talked to her and all of that. She, tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm just trying to get my strength back, and I guess at this moment, there's no more cancer.
Good. Good. Yeah. Fantastic.
I can't take another test till December, so that'll kind of be the.
You just like tests. Man, you just like to go in and have them give blood, do this, do that. So, but when you went to the doctor this week, everything good and all that? Very good. All right. Well, that's an answer to prayer, so let's just continue to be in prayer for the healing process. And so let's see, we need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. And Donald Wise, how's Donald doing?
He's a little weaker, but he's hanging in there.
A little weaker?
I need to add my sister's husband. They found a John Krantz. They found a soft tissue mass in there, and I'm not sure what it is. So.
John?
Yep.
All right. Let's be in prayer. And when did they find it?
It was a week ago or so.
Yeah.
A week ago, okay.
Definitely.
All right. Did they take a biopsy and send it in?
Yeah, they did a biopsy.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. We'll be in prayer. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for our member in Wichita Falls, Texas, Cindy Edwards, and her entire family. They need our prayers. Need to continue to be in prayer for Nathan as he is in harm's way. And so any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
Leanne called me on the way to church. And she was
That's her daughter, Leanne.
Yeah, on her way to the emergency room with Ron. Or whatever happens, I'm not quite sure what happened.
Oh wow, people! We need to be in prayer for Ron. He just has a lot of problems with the stomach and the heart.
Well, maybe the stomach and like his intestines get blocked.
Okay, all right.
Or some surgery that they did. Now there's scar tissue.
All right.
And it's blocked up, and it's really painful.
Judith's used to that with Julie, so all kinds of intestinal problems. So. All right, we'll be in prayer for Ron and keep me posted on that. Yes, sir.
Well, Pam's going to be co-piloting to Gunnison West Friday, so please be prepared.
Gunnison, Colorado?
Yes.
You're going to co-pilot from Dallas to Gunnison? Can I go?
Well, it's not really rude.
I love Gunnison. Oh, wow. That's a beautiful little town. Oh, me. Well, that'll be a lot of fun.
Pray for the pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to pilot?
I hope so.
Wow. This is going to be fun. Wow. Well, then you'll have room for me. Gee whiz.
But your luggage, Herman.
Oh. And our newlyweds, Nathan and Hazel. Yay! Oh, wow! Now, friend, Nathan, that's unbelievable. In church, the morning after your wedding. Wow, I didn't even do that. My goodness, that's fantastic.
30 years difference.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to both of you. And happy you're here this morning. My goodness. Church the morning after their wedding. Now, I know some couples that need to be in church the morning after their wedding, but I don't think that applies here. Wow, my goodness. Okay. Yes.
I have a Thanksgiving prayer. My mom's test results all came back
fine. Oh, your mother what?
My mom's test results all came back
fine. Oh, fantastic. How's she doing?
She's doing good.
Good.
Really good.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Oh, wow. That is super. Okay. Okay. Now, let me tell you about camp. 2 weeks ago. Number one, it was super. One of the best camps in our three years. Number two, there were some young people that believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Number three, some of our adults here had a wonderful time. It was their first time. And that is just so wonderful. Tana came up and looked at me. She just had this great smile. And she said, it was my first time ever to lead a little Bible prayer group and open the Bible and read it with kids. And so some wonderful things happened. But something else happened. On Thursday night, they always have a talent show. And so we go through this talent show, and you got to sign up. And then while other things are going on, you can practice. So we have this sign-up sheet. And Lori and Chris Daig look at the sign-up sheet, and there's their son's name. And they had not, right? No. Tell them. And he won first place. And I mean, the kids just went wild. They went just through the whole deal. So I said, look, I know they're getting ready to go on the world, around the world trip. And they don't have very much to do to get ready for that. But I asked Ben if he would come and sing for us this morning. And so here he is, Ben Daig.
Gotta start somewhere, why not here? If we gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I say. If we gotta start sometime, I say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to thermal missions. Look of hope to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints. Two worlds collide in a beautiful display. It's all love tonight. When we step across the line, we can sail across the sea to a city with one king, a city on our knees, a city on our knees. If we gotta start somewhere, why not here? If we gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I say here. If we gotta start sometime, I say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to thermal missions. Love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints. Two worlds collide in a beautiful display. It's all love tonight. When we step across the line, we can set across the sea to a city with one king. A city on our knees. A city on our knees. That couldn't last forever. We are one choice from together. Tonight couldn't last forever. Oh, tonight couldn't last forever. We are one choice from together, family, with family. Oh, tonight couldn't last forever. We are one choice from together, you and me. Yeah, you and me. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints. Two worlds collide in a beauteous display. Cause it's all love tonight. When we step across the line, we can set across the sea to a city with one king, a city on our knees, a city on our knees. City on our knees. A city on our knees. If we gotta start somewhere, why not here? If we gotta start sometime, why not now?
You just remember, you were discovered at our church camp. You cut your first record, you just remember. We discovered you at church camp. That's the kind of thing that happens at a camp. Believe in Jesus Christ, just things like this, the fun, the camaraderie, the friendships that are formed, and so... Just to be in prayer about next year. Yes?
On that same note, if you enjoyed seeing them, we have an opportunity to replace the film for a teacher on Sunday. Then put them in the baby. These kids grow up.
Ah. So we need a teacher? All right. Do what? Yeah. And people, there's just nothing, just so satisfying taking a reservoir that's empty. Now you get into a church, and often visitors or people come in that maybe they've been to this church, that church. They have a lot of stuff in the reservoir, and let's just, for the sake of illustration, that it wasn't all true, I've got to go through and go through and lay a foundation in the truth, and that means they've got to deal with a lot of untruth. And what a great joy it is when you know you have truth to be able to go into the empty little reservoir of their souls and lay the foundation of truth about God, about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, and just lay that foundation and make it a very strong, concrete, and foundation that will never be broken. And so just to be in prayer about that, because we do need some teachers back there. And Chris, I hope you realize all the things you're putting us into going on your trip around the world. Somebody else is going to have to come forward and teach. they have to they're renting their home, and so their house, and they were telling me that last night was the last night at their house, and so last night you started, so the night before was their last night. Well, everybody else decided, let's just give it a try and sleep in the camper out in the driveway. Chris goes, what? This is our last night to be in beds and air conditioning and all of these wonderful things. No, we want to give it a shot. So they're now into the van. So we're going to be in prayer and keep up with you as you travel and all. Okay, the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth a gracious giver. First of all, the gracious giver is one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you've never believed in Christ as Savior, the offering plate is of no issue for you whatsoever. I like to just sort of add, you're not even entitled to an opinion of whether we ought to pass one. There's only one issue before you, and that's the offering on the cross, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But it's not just for the believer only. The offering is not just for the believer only. It's for a believer who knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Because if we do not give with love, it profiteth nothing, Paul says. So you want to be a believer, but you also want to be led of the Spirit in regard to what to do with your money, where to give it, why you're doing this with your money. And so let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we enter in this facet of worship, it's our custom that we remember the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other. The political economic freedom that we still enjoy in America. The freedom, Father, to do with our lives, our resources, our time as we see fit. The freedom to go to the church of our choice and why. What to do with our time and why. What to do with our money and why. All the decisions, whom to marry, where to live. So many wonderful decisions that we have to make under this freedom. And Father, we here are most appreciative for the men and women who provided this freedom through this nation's history right up to this very hour, where one of our own, along with many others, are in harm's way. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm, the spiritual realm of freedom, that we have eyes to see how to use the political economic freedom. what to do with our time and why, what to do with our money and why, where to go to church and why, whom to marry and why. All the decisions that we make in our political, economic realm of freedom, Father, it is the spiritual realm of freedom that gives us the eyes to see how to make those decisions. And Father, we are most appreciative for the person and work of Christ on the cross and the resurrection. And now, Father, we pray that you'll receive these offerings, that you'll continue to use this humble assembly and the spreading of the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. Use this assembly, Heavenly Father, and the internet, missionaries, publication, and right here in our own home, the families that are here. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Chris, how old has been? 9? Well, I hope when Ben approaches 70 that he will still love this story. And I think we just sang it recently, but let's turn to hymn 437. 437. And we're going to be dealing with the gospel, being saved eternally this morning, and looking at the total picture of it. But it's just one of those areas of truth that we should never grow tired of hearing, understanding, grasping richness about, and that is, tell me the story of Jesus.
Thank you.
this morning. Something was came up, and I was telling Judith, and she said, "You've only told me that four times." Then we just started talking. Isn't it interesting that I know for over 61 years that I've heard the story of Christ and just never get tired of hearing it. And in fact, I said to her, "Well, I guess you don't want to hear about Jesus Christ this morning." And she said, "No, that you can tell me over and over." So let's open the scriptures, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Dyson, how's Bill Hess? Okay, well, let's be in prayer. And it's maybe close to being honorably promoted home. Be a great promotion for that warrior, that father, that husband, that friend. And so let's just be in prayer. Very good. All right. Well, Daddy, wasn't that bad? Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer, and the prayer is very important. It's time. Just test yourself to see if you're in the Spirit. He is the teacher, not me, and we have completed the doctrine of the blood of Christ last Sunday morning, so now, or two Sunday mornings ago. So we're beginning back to our study, one sentence in Romans chapter 3. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in directing the writers of Scripture to write down exactly what you would have them to say in their own words, their own personality. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit has preserved this sacred word through history with all of Satan's attempts to get rid of it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit led the compiling of the books that would be in this Bible, the books that you wanted. But Heavenly Father, all of this would be to be vain, if it wasn't for the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit right now. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see the truth that's going on. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will cause us to see the things you'd have us to see. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 3. Now, we have one sentence, verses 21 through 26. But let's begin with the paragraph and noting the verse 20, which sort of introduces everything. So, verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. There's the main verb of this long sentence. Has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All right, now, indented it here so that you could see the how this thing is going to flow. The righteousness of God has been manifested. Now picks it back up. Even the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Faith and believe. Those are predominant through this whole section. For there is no distinction. Then I indented it again, no distinction. He's going to clarify that. For all have sinned, picked up this knowledge of sin, or all have sinned, and excluded of the glory of God. It's not fall short. You fall short when you have $1,900 on a $2,000 bill. You fall short when you lose a football game by a field goal. People were not anywhere near that close to his righteousness. We're excluded of his righteousness, the Greek word says. All right, now, And by all are excluded, there is no distinction, for all have sinned, and excluded from righteousness of God, or the glory of God. And then you go back now, picking up the theme of the justice, being justified, there's the great issue, as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Then it comes down, again, indented in, Christ Jesus, whom God, whom Jesus Christ, displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate, see the demonstration, publicly display, demonstrate here, there's your main verb, being manifested. This was to demonstrate. What I'm saying here is, we're going to see this morning why that is so important to God. The demonstration of His righteousness. Oh, what did I do here? Let me see. Alright, put that down. So, whom God displayed, whom Jesus Christ, God publicly displayed as a propitiation in His blood through faith, this was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness, there's the great issue, the righteousness of God, at the present time, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, let's go back. What we've done here is those words that are in red were doctrines that we spent some time on, a lot of time on. So let's just go back through. To me, this whole paragraph, sentence plus one verse, is so essential in our eternal life salvation. But people also remember, this sets up the whole framework for being restored as a believer from sin, being back into the filling of the Spirit. All these things are pertinent to that. That's why it has to be by faith. That's why it has to be by grace through faith. So let's take a look now and go back through and note some of these things. So, first of all, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Alright, justification. The gracious act of God, whereby He declares righteous everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. We are born under total depravity, which we studied in Romans, and the issue is being righteous. You cannot be righteous by anything you do. Anything you can do. Keep the law, do whatever you want. You are not going to be right. We are born unrighteous. And so to be justified, we have to be righteous so that we are justified, alright? Now, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin, okay? Well, let me see here. This should be... Okay, sin. That which proves, unlike the character of God, namely His righteousness, are acting independently of God. People, you realize we spent hours on all of these. I just sort of bringing it into a fruition where we can, as you read through, have an understanding of all of this. All right, for the knowledge of sin, well, all this is coming up. But now, the verse 21, but apart from the law, the righteousness of God, okay? The righteousness of God, a very long doctrine, I simplified it. The absolute perfection of God, the absolute rightness of God, it is being and must be revealed. God exists and God reveals His existence, okay? Let's see what we got. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned, that goes back up to the knowledge of sin, and excluded of the glory of God. Being justified, all right, you now know what justified is, being declared righteous, as a gift by His grace through the redemption. Okay? I'm sorry I didn't get this PowerPoint right, but here's redemption. It is the sinward direction of the cross. Redemption is the sinward direction of the cross, work of Christ. To buy back, to restore, to free from what distress or harms, refers to the antecedent bondage, to the antecedent bondage where a redeemer comes and frees from bondage. And we talked about the market, how we're in the slave market of sin. He comes, pays the price. The price is the blood of Christ to redeem us out of that situation. Okay? Come down now to verse 24. And being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom, Christ Jesus, God publicly displayed as a propitiation. Okay? We spent some time on propitiation. This is the Godward side of the work of Christ on the cross. Propitiation means satisfaction. The holiness of God is propitiated or satisfied by the work of Jesus Christ. Not by us. Not by anything we do. You cannot be saved. You cannot maintain your salvation or anything by anything you do. People, we have to stay with the work of Christ on the cross. What happened on the cross? He took care of the sinward side and the Godward side. And now God, because He's satisfied, is free to justify, there's the word justification, and save anyone who believes in Christ Jesus. Okay, we come down now. Verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood. Okay, we spent some time on the blood of Christ. This does not refer to the literal blood of Jesus Christ, but is a symbol of the saving work of Christ, referring to His spiritual death on the cross. And we spent a lot of time going through the Old Testament, New Testament, Greek lexicons, all this showing you that the blood of Christ refers to His spiritual death on the cross. It is taken from the death of the animal whose life is in blood. Life of the human is in the soul. Okay, now, we're about ready to clear... Verse 25, but God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness. So you see the great issue, the righteousness of God. Because in the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. That's what we have to take care of this morning. For a demonstration, I say. So if you get a feel of how important this demonstration, which we'll deal with this morning, it's the main verb of the sentence, having manifested, verse 25, to demonstrate, and now verse 26, for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness. The righteousness of God is the great issue, the righteousness at the present time, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, that brings us now to our current, to where we are. Okay, verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood. All right, whom? Jesus Christ, the God, God the Father. The reason for the definite article here, the God, is that He is one whom the readers are familiar with. The God, the only true God, is the idea. Publicly displayed. The Greek here, and I was going to use the board, but this is a aorist middle indicative of the Greek protithemi. Now this is a compound word, and that little prefix pro, P-R-O, that means before. That means to place before. See? And then tithemi means to set or to place. So it means to place or to set before someone's eyes. Therefore, to publicly display. That's the idea. Now, the aorist tense, publicly displayed, the aorist tense is the time of the cross, where Jesus Christ bore the judgment for our sins. So that aorist tense looks at 3 hours. He was on the cross 6 hours. The last 3 hours, He bore the judgment of our sins. So it refers, looks at the 3 hours. Jesus Christ bore the sins in darkness. Jesus Christ bore the sins of every human being in history ever committed. All of that is in that aorist tense in the Greek. What's beautiful? The middle voice. Publicly displayed. Middle voice. very important here. We learn about God here, people. We learn about God. The middle voice tells us that this was for the benefit of God Himself. You might argue, no, wait a minute. It's for our benefit. We're saved. People learn about God. Learn about God here. For the benefit of God Himself. See, the active voice would emphasize the action itself. The middle voice emphasizes the agent producing the action. While the emphasis is for the benefit of the agent, and this is so important because, again, God the Father sent His Son to the cross for His own benefit. People, that's astounding. That's astounding. Learn about God. He considers it to His benefit that He can save us. That's just amazing. Learn about God. What is your view of God? So many people distort the gospel, tweak it, do this. They don't know about God, the work of Christ on the cross. He considers it to His benefit to be able to save us. I have no idea why. I am a sinner. I was a sinner when He saved me. I'm still a sinner. And I'll have that sin nature till I die. And yet He considers it to His benefit to save us. To send His Son that we might be saved. So an emphasis is on the character of God. For His own benefit, He saved all mankind. And again, you might argue, wait a minute, it's for my benefit. People, this is God's attitude. This is God's thinking. It's for my benefit. I sent my Son to die on a cross that you might be saved through Him. It's for my benefit. His benefit to provide the way back to Him that we lost in the garden. Then it says, whom God publicly demonstrated or displayed as a propitiation. Now, the King James says propitiation. The NIV says a sacrifice of atonement. The King James, a propitiation. NIV, a sacrifice of atonement. If you'll note in the margin, if your NASV has a marginal note, has the marginal note, some of them don't, some of them do. You'll note in the margin, it says a propitiatory sacrifice. A propitiatory sacrifice. It's accusative of the Greek word to propitiate, expiate. Propitiation that we just had on the board means to appease. People, there was a barrier between man and God. God was, as it were, offended by our sins. He could not have fellowship with us. He had to be, His righteousness, His holiness had to be satisfied by nothing that we could do. That's why the emphasis of faith through this whole section is so important. It's all that we can do, and faith is non-meritorious. He had to be propitiated, and there's nothing that we can do to do that. That's what this word means, to be expiated or propitiated. Expiation means to put an end to extinguish the guilt incurred. The guilt is gone. People, everyone's sins were forgiven at the cross. Everyone's sins, even those who do ever believe in Jesus Christ, they will never answer for those sins. That will not be brought up at the last judgment, the second death. What will be brought up is something far more important. You didn't believe in the one I sent. That's the only issue at the great white throne judgment. You didn't believe in the one I sent. Not sins. Why not? They were taken care of on the cross. So propitiation, expiation, synonymous terms in this aspect. And this is so important in your thinking through salvation. Propitiation, expiation. Synonymous terms, they speak of the satisfaction, the appeasement of the holiness of God, so that He is free now to provide eternal salvation to anyone, everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ. On Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we're studying the hatred of the world against Jesus Christ. Why the world hates Him. People, one of the reasons they hate Him is His exclusiveness. Well, you Christians say that if you don't believe in this Jesus, you're not saved. Why do you do that? You know, the Jews that don't believe, Muslims that don't believe, Hindus that don't believe, Buddhists that don't believe, people that don't believe. Why do y'all exclude everyone else? But people, it's all inclusive. Whosoever will. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life is exclusive for those who believe in Jesus Christ. The offer is all-inclusive, whosoever will. So here again, you learn to think your way through salvation, able to spot and reject false teaching and heresies, and like you must do something for God. You must be sinless perfection, or you can lose your salvation. All these types of things, people, all these doctrines do not understand fully what happened at the cross, and why faith is the only way of accessing the work of Christ on the cross. Then it says, in His blood. And in plus the instrumental of I mean means instrumental, by means of His blood. The possessive pronoun, His, referring to Jesus Christ. And we took that up in the study of the doctrine of the blood. The instrumental denotes the original instrument of means. The agency is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is His death on the cross, is the original cause of salvation. As we have seen, the blood of Christ is the cause of propitiation, reconciliation, redemption, and justification. The blood of Christ refers to the work of Christ on the cross. The blood of Christ refers to His spiritual death on the cross. God the Father judged the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for all the sins of the world. Now, in His blood, through faith. In His blood, through faith. Preposition is dia, and I would write this on the overhead, plus the genitive, through faith. Minus a definite article, here it emphasizes the quality of the noun, the quality of faith. Faith is non-meritorious. There is no merit at all in faith. Faith is a passive verb. Now, before we look at some points on faith, and I just want to go through a few with you this morning quickly, let's be sure we correctly understand the translation here. The King James and the NIV incorrectly phrase this verse according to the original Greek. Now, if you have the King James or the NIV, they have faith in His blood. Now, there's nothing wrong with this as long as you correctly understand the blood of Christ. But this is not what the verse says in the original Greek. The New American Standard strived to get it more correctly. Whom God publicly displayed, or displayed publicly, as a propitiation in or by His blood acquired by faith. So they see the object of propitiation, the public display, is the blood of Christ, the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. This is accessed by faith. Let's note three things. One, the public display is referring to His blood, the work of Christ on the cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world. That's the public display. That's why I like the New American Standard Translation. God displayed publicly as a propitiation in or by His blood, Jesus Christ's blood, through faith, by means of faith. Point two. The price for propitiation, satisfaction of God, is the blood or the spiritual death of Christ. People, it is blasphemy to God to say that you can do something to earn your salvation. That is blasphemy to God. It's blasphemy to the work of Christ. What you're saying is, my works will propitiate God. My works will cause me to be righteous before God. My works will cause God to justify me. People, this is all the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This paragraph, this sentence that we're looking at, to me is one of the most important sentences in all the New Testament in dealing with salvation one, or eternal life salvation. So point two, the price for propitiation is His blood. Nothing that we do. You say that I can do something to propitiate God, cause God to justify, to keep my salvation. Anything, people. Anything. Look what you're doing to the work of Christ on the cross and the benefit of God the Father. That's why He sent His Son. And then point three, we become benefactors of propitiation, of the satisfaction of God, by means of faith in Jesus. Now, some there in chapter one, we studied the long doctrine of faith. All I want to do this morning is take up a few essentials on faith. just to kind of keep it in our head, keep it in our mind what this faith is. So, point one, first of all, blessings from God, any blessing, be it salvation, spirituality, a husband, a wife, anything in life is always on the basis of grace. We don't earn or deserve any blessings from God. Don't earn or deserve any blessings from God. My wife likes to remind me, I didn't earn the right to be married to her. And it's all by grace. See? It's all by God's grace. So, any blessing from God is always on the basis of grace. Now, the only thing that we can do that's compatible with grace is faith. That's the only thing we can do that's compatible with grace. Many people will use the word grace, but do they understand the grace according to the Word of God? Totally, without any merit from man. If you were to tell the Pope of Rome he doesn't understand grace, he'd fall out of his royal robes. And he'd just, what do you mean? But anybody who adds anything other than just faith in Jesus Christ doesn't understand grace. For salvation, spiritual, eternal sanctification, experiential sanctification, blessings in life. Got to understand what grace is. Don't listen to, he's using the word grace, so that means he's right. No. What does he mean by grace? He's using the word faith. That means he's right. No. What does he mean by faith? And the same thing is true of love. So blessings from God is always on the basis of grace, and faith is the only mechanic that goes with grace. If God blesses because we repent, it's not grace. That's something we do. But see, these things catch on. Let me give you another one. If God blesses because we confess, it's not grace. Now, why do these things that are in the Bible catch on with people? Because people, we all want to be a part of our salvation. One of the great heresies today, invite Jesus into your heart. It's a verb. It's an active verb. I get to be a part of my salvation. I get to invite Jesus into the sewer. People, we don't do the inviting. He does the inviting. He invites us. That's not a word out of the Bible. Invite Jesus into your heart. But why is it so popular today? Why does it catch on? Because the basic instinct of man, what's the basic instinct of man? Not sex. The basic instinct of man is to work and be rewarded for his work. That's the basic instinct. It's how we rear our little children. We reward them. Oh, you did good. You cleaned. You went to the potty. You did this. You did that. Oh, you tied your own shoes. Get a little star. See? We work on this. It's the basic instinct of man to work and to be desire to be rewarded for our work. And so when someone can come up with something that distorts the gospel just a little bit, don't take the gospel away. Galatians chapter 1, distort the gospel. What does that mean? You tweak it. I want to improve just a little bit on the gospel for God. So I distort it. Don't take it away. I pervert it. Distort it. Anytime you distort it, you pervert it. So this is what we want to do. So we want to invite Jesus. I want to be a part. I'm saved because I repented, because I confessed. If God blesses because of our sorrows, our sincerity, our working real hard not to sin, people, it's not on a grace basis then. You're just getting what you earn. And you can't do that with God. So we have to understand what grace is so that we'll understand not only that it's faith. Not only do I want you to know that it's faith, I want you to know why faith. Why is it faith? Point two. Faith is passive verb, not an active verb. Faith receives the action of the verb. Faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the work of Christ. As believers, faith in the Holy Spirit, we receive the work of the Holy Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? By faith in the Spirit. By faith in the Spirit, we receive His work. What's His work? Well, part of His work is the divine nine, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is guidance, teaching truth, all these wonderful things, inner peace. There'll be times in life, and I feel for you if you go through this period, but there are times when I don't want humor, I don't want love. If I could just have some inner peace tonight, God. If I could just fall asleep with some inner peace, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But you've got to know how to tap into the Holy Spirit. And it's simple, just like our salvation, by faith. Just by faith. So faith is a passive, not an active verb. And point three, and this is the last one, we spent, I think, about 14 points under it. I just want to highlight some of the important things. Point three, is your faith the faith God is looking for? Is your faith the faith God is looking for? Well, I have faith. I have faith that if I will join this church, if I stop sinning so badly, if I try real hard, that God will save me. Faith is there, but it's not the faith God is looking for. What's the object of your faith? The object of faith is the merit of the faith. What is the object of your faith? Everyone claims to do faith. I don't know of any religion that doesn't have faith in there somewhere. Everyone claims it. But what is the object of your faith? Is your object of your faith that if I do this, then God will do that? If I'm good, if I repent, if I confess, if I this, if I that, for salvation, spirituality, or blessings in time. What is the object of your faith? That's not the faith God is looking for. The faith that God is looking for, people, is very simple. It's in a member of the Godhead. It's in the one that He sent. John 6, He sent His Son for eternal life salvation. He sent His Spirit for experiential sanctification. You see, faith is a relationship word, people. Now, between humans, the relationship word is what? Love. That's a relationship word in with humans. But the relationship word between creature and creator is faith. Here's God's hand. The only thing that God will class or allow to class is faith. I give my faith. And now there's fellowship with God. Faith is the only thing. See, this is the whole reason why Genesis is so important. What did Cain do? People, Cain offered his very, very best. He didn't bring God a rotten tomato. He brought God a tomato that will later be grown in Texas only. He brought God a wonderful. A wonderful. Don't get mad, Brian. That's all right. I was just kidding. Now, he brought it very best. Here is my best. And what God say? I don't want your best. I want my best. I want my Son. The offering of my Son. That's what He wants. So people, the only thing that you and I can offer God that we can be joined in the fellowship with Him is faith. That's the only faith He's looking for, is a faith in a member of the Godhead. So, anything else that we offer, he's going to reject. Okay, let's look at verse 25. Whom? Jesus Christ, the God, one familiar with them, is the reason for the definite article, displayed publicly, very important, as a propitiation, satisfaction, by means of His blood, by means of faith. Now we come to another very important clause. This was to demonstrate His righteousness. The King James says to declare His righteousness. The NASB, the King James, and the NIV all translate these as though that was an infinitive, but there's no verb here. This is not a big deal, but we're Bible church. We want to know what the text says. We have a prepositional phrase with a noun, and really it should just be simply translated for a demonstration. For a demonstration of His righteousness. Now remember the main verb of this one sentence, verse 21 through 26, is in verse 21, has been manifested. The righteousness of God has been manifested. Well, now we have seen the principle, we'll see the principle twice more. Once here, once at the beginning of verse 26. This whole thing of the manifestation. For a demonstration, we have a prepositional phrase here, plus the accusative, to show forth, to act as pointing out, to declare, a declaration. It emphasizes the pointing out of something. And from this we learn about our God again. We learn about God here again. For a demonstration, you learn about God. Let me give you three things we learn. One, God is. God exists. And two, very important, God reveals Himself. God is, God exists, God reveals Himself, manifests Himself. We saw in Romans chapter 1, 19 and 20, what did it say? In 19 and 20 of Romans 1, it said, because that what is, which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what He has made, so that they are without excuse. But what did they do? Being wise. Oh no, there's no God. They became fools. But people know about your God. He is, He exists, and He's manifested Himself. He has manifested Himself. He's manifested Himself through His Word. He's manifested Himself through His creation. He's manifested Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. For a demonstration, now it says what? Of His righteousness. Okay. Grasping the righteousness of God is essential to grasping the gospel. It is essential to grasping and understanding grace and faith. It's essential in understanding spirituality, why it has to be by faith. Understanding and grasping the righteousness of God. Many people are confused as to the gospel or grace or what faith is because they have not fully grasped the issue of the righteousness of God. They think they can be righteous before God. I can be good enough before God. You recall that the righteousness of God is the great issue through our study of Job. All through the Bible, Job is the first book given to us. First thing God wanted us to know. He gave it to us in the book of Job. And how can an unrighteous person be righteous? Now, let me show you. Let's go through Job very quickly here. Put it on the overhead so we don't have to go through the read your Bibles. Chapter 4, 17. And we have 10 questions in Job that lay out the whole... Romans answers Job. Now, the whole Bible does in effect. But directly Job Romans answers the book of Job. Can a man be just before God? Can he be... There's that justification. Can a man be just, being declared righteous? Can a man be pure before his Maker? And people, if you think you can do something to earn salvation, you're saying, I can make myself pure. I can make myself just. And then, chapter 8, verse 3, does God pervert justice by saving those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, who offer Him their works? Or, does the Almighty pervert what is right? There's the righteousness of God. 9:2. How can a man be in the right? There's that righteousness again. Be in the right before God. 14:4. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? We are the unclean. Who can make us clean? No one. See, this was said by Satan's speakers. Job's three friends, I know preachers that pick up what they say and use it for people. These three speak for Satan. Now, what they say contains truth, but it isn't truth. And this is in the original manuscript. No one. Satan is saying, no one can make the clean out of the unclean. Not even God. Okay? 15:14. What is man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? And we've studied all of this, being born of a woman. Remember angels, Satan, they're not born. They don't have to go through all that slimy stuff and have the umbilical cord cut and do all that. That's low. That's low to Satan, being born of a woman. But being born, so, are he who is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. There's the issue. How are we going to be righteous? Got to understand what righteousness is. That's why God publicly displayed it. 25:4, how can a man be just? There's the just again, before God. He be clean who is born of a woman. Okay, 10 questions. These 10 questions, people, are essential in understanding the whole flow of the Bible, the whole issue of the Bible. How can I be righteous before God? Answer, the gospel, if correctly understood. Faith alone in Christ alone. All the works of man distort the gospel. Distort the issue. What's the issue? How can I be righteous before God? Justified. He imputes righteousness, declares us justified. All on the basis of Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Okay, we will pick it up here next Sunday morning. Any questions on this part of our flow of the sentence, going through the sentence? Okay, we'll pick it up at this point next Sunday morning. I'm sorry we have to break. I'm just wound up, but we want to have a meeting here and on a very important issue of camp, so we will close. And so let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, just wow. What an awesome God you are. You consider it your benefit to offer Jesus Christ on the cross and save us. And so, Heavenly Father, sometimes we, in our vanity, we like to look at it as our benefit. We're saved forever. We miss out on the total damnation of the lake of fire. We kind of look at this as to our benefit. But you, Father, you declare it's for your benefit to save us. And the cost is Jesus Christ as a public display of the great issue. The great issue is your righteousness. Father, I pray now that your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning. Let these things settle in our souls, become a reality in our lives. And spirituality and blessings from you day by day, letting your wonders be known, telling others why Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things now in your Son's precious name. Amen.